Doucement. Allez.
Yeah, well, that's the first thing that needs attention, is if we can do a cell phone check, please. Everyone's cell phone can be tame.
Yeah, that's
hi. How are you?
Good.
Sure?
Hi.
Hi. Now there's only one person left to say hi.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, Hare Krishna. Chant a little more? Where did they put those kartals? There they are. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Kirivaradhari. Jana Vallabha Kirivaradhari. Sharanandana Rajajana Ranjana. Nandana Rajajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanashari. Jamuna Tira Vanashari.
Manachari.
Ra-di-da, Manachari.
Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupad Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Padamhansa Paripraja Kacharja Ashto Tadasita Shri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupad Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shriva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindaki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath. Sham Kunradha Kunigiri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai. Navdip Tham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Jamana Mai Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 7th canto, chapter 10, concerning Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrisingadev. And yesterday we read that Prahlad Maharaj is Hiranyakashipu has been killed, and Prahlad Maharaj has offered Lord Nrisingadev very nice prayers, and Lord Nrisingadev has offered Prahlad any benediction that he might wish. So Prahlad Maharaj said, "I'm not a merchant doing business with you. I'm not looking for some material benediction." Yesterday we read, "Oh, my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your Lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desires." Now, today. Indriyani mana prana Atma dharmo jatir matihi Sri shris tejas mati satyam yasya nashanti janmana. O my Lord, because of lusty desires from the very beginning of one's birth, the functions of one's senses, mind, life, body, religion, patience, intelligence, shyness, opulence, strength, memory, and truthfulness are vanquished. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kamam Hrid Rogam, materialistic life means that one is afflicted by a formidable disease called lusty desire. Liberation means freedom from lusty desires, because it is only due to such desires that one must accept repeated birth and death. As long as one's lusty desires are unfulfilled, one must take birth after birth to fulfill them. Because of material desires, therefore, one performs various types of activities and receives various types of bodies with which to try to fulfill desires that are never satisfied. The only remedy is to take to devotional service, which begins when one is free from all material desires. Anya abhilashita shunyam. Anya abhilashita means material desire, and shunyam means free from. The spiritual soul has spiritual activities and spiritual desires, as described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mama Janmani Janmani Shure Bhavatad Bhaktir Ohetuki Tvai. Unalloyed devotion to the service of the Lord is the only spiritual desire. To fulfill this spiritual desire, however, one must be free from all material desires. Desirelessness means freedom from material desires. This is described by Srila Rupa Goswami as Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. As soon as one has material desires, one loses his spiritual identity. Then all the paraphernalia of one's life, including one's senses, body, religion, patience, and intelligence, are deviated from one's original Krishna consciousness. As soon as one has material desires, one cannot properly use his senses, intelligence, mind, and so on for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mayavadi philosophers want to become impersonal, senseless, and mindless, but that is not possible. The living entity must be living, always existing with desires, ambitions, and so on. These should be purified, however, so that one can desire spiritually and be spiritually ambitious without material contamination. In every living entity, these propensities exist because he's a living entity. When materially contaminated, however, one is put into the hands of material misery, janma mrityu jara vyadhi. If one wants to stop repeated birth and death, one must take to the devotional service of the Lord. Sarvopadhi vinirmuktam tatpratvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktir uchite. Bhakti, or devotional service, means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of all the senses. When the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there are two side effects. One is freed from all material designations, and simply by being employed in the service of the Lord, one's senses are purified. Om Agyana Timidantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tadhati Shapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Shavadhutam Parijana Sehitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho,
Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vansha Kolpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyayevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, yesterday we read that Prahlad Maharaj prayed to Lord Nrisingadev, Kamanam Hridyasam Roham Bhavatastu Vrinevaram. If you really want to give me a benediction, then I pray that all material desires may be removed from my heart. Kamanam means material desires. Kama bikama. Elsewhere, Prahlad Maharaj says, we're in a world where it's just one desire after another, after another, after another. This is Hridrogam. Hridrogam means the heart disease. There's campaigns to wipe out heart disease, raise money and conquer heart disease by scientific research. But that's only the superficial heart disease. They say, what, heart disease is the nation's greatest killer or something like that. Actually, there's British humorist, he said, actually the greatest killer, our nation's greatest killer is death. But on a deeper level, the real heart disease is material desire. Material desire is responsible, that heart disease is responsible for the other heart disease. If they really want to get to do their research thoroughly and get to the cause of heart disease, the cause of heart disease is this material body. Because we have this material body, we have to die, whether of heart disease or of some other disease. The big disease in Africa, it's AIDS. America also, but in Africa, it's rampant. AIDS is there. So that AIDS is just another form of death. But both heart disease and AIDS and any other disease you come up with, the source is the material body. And the source of the material body is material desire. Why do I have this body? Because I want it. I want to enjoy in a particular way, and nature awards me a particular kind of body. Whether it be a human body or a fish body or tree body or animal body or fish body or bird body, whatever kind of body, 8,400,000 different kinds, they're awarded in response to different kinds of material desires. Someone wants to eat blood, drink blood. The tiger's body is there, the mosquito's body is there, so that the desire can be fulfilled. Someone wants to eat anything and everything, the pig's body is there. Someone wants to fly. There are so many kinds of birds. There are so many different desires and so many bodies accordingly. You want to enjoy? All right, enjoy. That's nature's gift. Yes, take another body and enjoy. But that enjoy means, along with your enjoyment, you must accept birth and death. and old age and disease. Along with birth and death, jata svihi dhruvam mrityur, along with birth, death is certain. And along the way to death, disease, old age. These are the actual problems of material existence. The problem's not heart disease. Those who are campaigning to stop heart disease, or those who are doing the research against heart disease, are themselves afflicted with the deeper form of heart disease, material desire. That's the root cause of all the other diseases. Patchwork, they're trying to stop this disease, they're trying to stop that disease, and another disease will come. You wipe out polio and the next one comes. You wipe out, when they wipe out AIDS, if they succeed, the next disease will come. Guaranteed. So they're just wiping out one misery to be replaced by another misery. And they're making progress. But this is, I think the term is, treatment is symptomatic. Means we can't solve, we can't cure your disease, so we're treating your symptoms. The heart disease is actually a symptom of the deeper disease, or the deeper form of heart disease. That my heart is filled with material desires. My healthy condition is to have one desire, the spiritual desire, the desire to please Krishna. That's the natural desire of every living being. And in the spiritual world, every living being has that desire. They have so many other desires, but all the other desires are simply subdivisions or manifestations of their desire to please Krishna. They want to play with Krishna, they want to feed Krishna, they want to dance with Krishna, they want to talk about Krishna, sing about Krishna. So many desires are there, but they're all different forms of one desire. Let us please Krishna. Someone wants to please Krishna as a friend, someone wants to please Krishna as a parent, someone wants to please Krishna as a servant, someone wants to please Krishna as a lover. But they all want to please Krishna. That's spiritual desire. That's spiritual desire. They're not thinking, how can I enjoy? Practically, it's inconceivable to us. Because in the material world, even when we say, I want to do something for you, I'm thinking, how will I benefit? What's in it for me? How will I enjoy? But in pure consciousness, in the consciousness of the spiritual world, there's only pure desire. Let me please Krishna. The Mayavadis think that the answer to material desire is no desire. No desire is not possible. One devotee argued against one Mayavadi philosopher, saying, you're desiring to become desireless. So you still have some desire. You're thinking about becoming nothing, or you're thinking about having no thought, the Buddhists. You're thinking about having no thought, but you're thinking. You're imagining something which is not possible. To have no, as Prabhupada says, no senseless, mindless. It's supposed to be a virtue in some forms of meditation to become mindless. But their mind is on becoming mindless. So in the opposite of desire is not no desire, it's spiritual desire. That's the natural healthy condition. Just like the answer to diseased activity is not no activity. It's healthy activity. Someone's lying in the hospital bed doing nothing. That's not recovered. that's convalescing or that's still sick. When you get up and you go about your normal activities, that's healthy. Not that because my diseased activities are so painful, my healthy activity is nothing. The opposite of painful activity is healthy activity. So the opposite of material desire, at the base of all the other problems, is material desires. Let me enjoy. Let me enjoy. My natural function is to give enjoyment to Krishna, but I'm thinking, let me enjoy. Of course, kama, the desire, means sex desire. It means sex desire. Striya pumsa maitini bhavametam tayor mitto hridya grantam ahu. And from that desire, so many desires expand. Ta griha kshetra sutta apta vittar janasya moho yamaham mameti. House, let us have a house, land, property, children, money, social affairs. In this way, one forgets about one's spiritual life and thinks, I'm this body, this is mine. Expanding from that point of sex attraction. But therefore, if one can control sex desire, then so many other desires are controlled. But it's not sex desire is the only desire. Although from one angle of vision, they all expand from that point. But we look and we see so many varieties of desires. A scholar is desiring to be published. He's desiring to get favorable reviews. He's desiring to be complimented by his colleagues. He's desiring, the scientist is desiring to have his research recognized and to win a Nobel Prize. The architect is looking to have his building praised. And of course, he's looking to get the contract and get money. There are so many. Some people, their desire is to eat and eat. Eat more, eat well, eat big, eat often, eat always, eat tasty. Their whole desire is eat. Come on. Eat and eat. Annamoya, their life is successful as long as they're eating. Dhanam janam sundarim. Someone's desiring money as an end in itself. There are men who are so rich, they can't spend all their money. When your capital value is in the hundreds of millions, when you're a billionaire, what more can you do with your money? But their desire is to have more money. It gets to a point where it's just watching the bottom line grow. Doing another deal, finding another way to conquer, to come out on top, to get more, to win. The goal is no longer, I can buy this. Because what more can you buy? Prabhupada pointed out, a rich man eats the same six chapatis that a poor man can eat. What more sense gratification will he get? But just money, for the sake of more money. Or the person who's less capitalized, he wants a bigger house, he wants a better car, he wants a better life. by having more. The dhanam. He wants money, and even just having it, that means I've got security because I'm sitting on a pile of money. There's no such security. I was driving on a bus going to Hartford, and as we were driving, all of a sudden on the highway there were big billows of dark smoke. The man sitting in the front said, "This isn't good." And as we went down the highway, we saw that there was a car totally in flames by the side of the highway. Totally in flames. It just happened. So maybe he had a lot of money, whoever was the driver of that car. But when Krishna desires, or when your karmic background is ready to bear the results, your money can't help you. Your money can't help you. You may be a Kennedy, or you may be a Rockefeller, or you may be whoever you are, but death will come of its own accord. But still people are mad after money. And they're thinking, I have money, I'm secure. Dhanam, janam, and people want followers. Of course, politicians, they're counting up their votes. But so many others, in school, one wants to be popular. In social affairs also, one wants to be respected. Philosopher wants to win over others to his side. And he wants his name published. The scholars want to be cited often. And yes, he's cited in so many. First, he wants to be published on his CV. So many publications are there. And then the publications are cited so often. So he wants to have fame, he wants to have followers, he wants to have fans. And Sundarim, man is desiring a very nice wife, beautiful wife, or girlfriend, or both. Man is desiring a woman. Woman is also desiring a man. So many desires are there. Pridrogam. So, what is the effect? Kama anam. That's mentioned or described by Prahlad Maharaj. Indriyani, mana prana, atma dharmo jatir matihi, tri shri steja smriti satyam, yasya nashyanti janmana. These desires take away our assets. We think that the more we're in the business of increasing desires, or desiring to desire. Kama kami in the Bhagavad Gita. Sashantim apnoti, na kama kami. Kama kami means desiring to desire. Grossly, people are taking this or that to increase their sex desire. Their libido is not sufficient, so they're taking some medication to increase their sex desire. This is called ignorance. Prahlad Maharaj says the problem is desire. And they're thinking the problem is not enough desire. If a person is not
aggressive in the material world. Then he goes to some workshop to increase his competitive desire. If someone is not hankering to achieve, then he's sent to the guidance counselor at the school. Billy seems to have a problem. He's apathetic. He doesn't care about... One is encouraged from the very beginning. The parents are encouraging. The teachers are encouraging. The whole society is encouraging. You should want to achieve. You should want to get. You should want to enjoy. You should want to win. You should want to be popular. You should want, 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 you should want. So that you can enjoy, you can enjoy, you can enjoy, you can enjoy. Janasya moho yamahamamiti. One is bewildered in this way from the very beginning. And the result is just the opposite. One becomes frustrated because we're not capable of enjoying. One becomes disappointed because he's out-competed by others. Or one becomes disappointed because he wins and then what he wins is not satisfying. It's empty. Oh, indriyani. The senses become compromised. That's the first item mentioned. The senses are not properly working, first of all, because they're uncontrolled. In a car, if you can't control the wheels, you may have the best wheels on your car, but if you can't control them, you have a problem. The Bhagavad Gita says that the Vedic literature says that the body's like a chariot. The intelligence is the driver. The mind is the reins. The senses are the horses. The soul is the passenger. So the passenger is supposed to direct the driver. The driver is supposed to have the reins. The reins are supposed to control the horses. And so you go. But if the horses are in control and the driver has dropped the reins and can't hear from the passenger, you're in danger. Or now it's the car. If you're steering wheel, the driver's talking on his cell phone and he forgets to hold on to the steering wheel, or if the steering wheel goes out of connection with the wheels themselves, then you're in danger. So that situation is there, that the senses are out of control. In the Bhagavad Gita, indriyani mano buddhir asya adhisthanam uchyate. Desires have taken over. Kama has taken over. The senses, the intelligence, the mind. They've all been compromised. So the senses become inflamed. They're demanding. We insist on this. We have to have that. They're pulling. They're dragging. In the Bhagavad Gita say, even one of the senses in which the mind becomes fixed can carry away the haranti prasapammana, can carry away the intelligence even of someone who's trying to control them. The way a boat is carried off by a strong wind, The mind is carried away. If one doesn't practice controlling the senses, then the senses take over. One becomes Godas, the servant of the senses. The tongue is demanding, I want it, I want it. And the fool can't say no. His doctor has told him no. His intelligence has told him no, you're too fat. You feel bad, you can't function. But the tongue's telling him yes. And he can't say no. Because he's Godas, he's the servant of the uncontrolled tongue. He's lost control. Or he can't stop talking. Vacho vegam. He can't stop talking. He knows that everybody says to him, you just keep talking. Could you just shut up? They get to the point where they're just blunt with him. You know, could you sometimes shut up? And he can't. Vacho vegam. He's speaking about all rubbish. Everyone thinks he's a bore because he goes on talking, or thinks she's a bore. She goes on talking. But he can't stop. She can't stop talking, because the tongue is out of control. Similarly, the eyes, the ears, the nose, and the genitals. The AIDS problem is there. By intelligence, what the hell are you doing? And there's so many posters, so much education, this, that. But their senses are demanding. We want it. We want it now. And he can't say no. She can't say no. The senses have gained the upper hand. They're controlling. Even the threat of death is not enough. One is going after some woman, risking her husband's gun. And he's doing it. One is going after sex at the risk of AIDS, and he's doing it. Risking his life. Risking your life. That's not intelligent. But the senses have taken over. And then the senses themselves become affected. The man in Prabhupada gave examples of, you know, old men, they're so addicted to sex that they become impotent. Or whatever sense. They're so addicted to rock music, they lose their hearing. Turn it up. And then the ears are damaged, then they can't hear. Turn it up. Can't hear you, turn it up. Not loud enough, turn it up. The senses become physically damaged. The body become, body means, senses means this body. He's eating and eating and he can't function. His physical organism is messed up. So the senses become incapable, or the senses are out of control, which also means messed up, or simply the senses are not engaged in the service of the master of the senses. So in this way, the senses are ruined. Indriyani, and then mana, the mind. The mind is meant for peacefulness. Mind is meant for clarity. mind should be capable of meditation. But because they're not Krishna conscious, the mind is not in proper order. You would know the statistics, the incidence of this disorder, the incidence of that disorder. Is depression number one?
It will be number one, Maharaj, in the next decade. Number one disease in the world.
Number one disease in the world, depression. That means the mind is there, but it's overwhelmed by depression. I know when Madhupati was working for Merck, the pharmaceutical company, that's where the money was going. Antidepressants, because so many people are depressed. I forget what the statistic was, like 1 out of 5 Americans is clinically depressed, and the other 4 are just unclinically depressed.
That's what that is.
Yeah, and the richest country, they're living with the best infrastructure, and certainly every... You order it, it's on your desk the next day. Any kind of sense gratification, any kind of anything. And 1 out of 5 are clinically depressed. The mind is just, and it's such a sad thing. The mind is depressed and it's like the whole life is affected. The whole life is dark, is bleak, is hopeless, because he's depressed. And that's only one thing that can happen to the monk. Or it becomes obsessed with something. Even, simple thing, this is not considered a clinical problem, but check out how many young people can't get off their computer games. You know, they have a very good mind, which could be used for spiritual realization, or could be used materially for study or this or that. And, you know, they get home from school, and they get onto their computer, and then they get an identity, you know? Z-Crow. You know, now he's Z-Crow, and He's killing the terrorists, you know, and he's connected with 400 other people, and and he's in a world of fantasy, and he can't get out. If his parents say, "That's it, stop, only an hour a day," or whatever it is, then he goes over to Jimmy's house.
Jimmy?
A friend, yeah. The mind, that's obsession. Can't stop. Whether it's a computer game or something else. For the adults, they get onto some porn site and then they can't stop. They become obsessed.
Stop that.
Or this is also not considered a clinical problem. They're watching television for like 3 hours a day, 5 hours a day, 7 hours a day. They're cooking, the television set is on. They're sleeping, the television set is on. If you turned off the television, it's like, now what do I do? And the mind is there in useless dramas, in useless news, particularly in useless commercials. which is the point of the whole thing. And his mind is, which the mind is such a wonderful instrument. It can accommodate so much, or it can have so much power. The yogis could create. Karda Muni created a palace from his mind. A flying aerial palace from his mind. The yogis can do so many things, mystic powers with the mind. So the mind is, of course, that's not the purpose, but the mind is so powerful. Or the scientist, if his mind is fixed, he can do so much. And someone has attained the human form of life, which lasts for such a short time, and his mind is soaking up whatever's being broadcast to him by some commercially interested party. And this is life. Or the mind is agitated, and he can't make up his mind. I want this. No, I don't want it. Go here, go there. Let's go to Las Vegas. No, let's not go to Las Vegas. What about going to New York? I don't know about New York. Let's go to Florida. Okay, let's go to Florida. No, let's go to Los Angeles. So many desires that he can't sort them out. Or on another, I love Susie. Well, no, I don't think Susie, but Joanne, I can't. You know, the mind is going from one to the next, to the next, to the next. Or her mind is going from this one to that one to this one. In this way, nashanti. The mind is ruined. It can't focus on even materially focus. And what to speak of spiritual focus on the goal of life. The mind becomes dull in the mode of ignorance. In the mode of ignorance, one destroyed by drugs, by alcohol. Another term is substance abuse. One becomes dull or one becomes mad. Then the mind is totally useless. Dull, it might is also totally useless. Or in the mode of passion, so many desires. And even in the mode of goodness, the mind is subtly misled because it's deviated from the truth, from the absolute. So Indriyani, Mana, and Prana, life force. The life force also. Again, this AIDS means that you lose your life force. They become physically weak, physically debilitated, depleted by over sense gratification. The living force itself becomes weak. Even we see that. We were talking this morning about the villagers in India, how strong they are. You know, someone's grandfather lives for 90 years, 100 years, and healthy and strong because he's living a natural way of life. He's walking, he's working, more or less in tune with nature. So the life force was strong. And what to speak of such a yuga when they lived for hundreds of thousands of years. But now to live for 60 years is a big deal. And people are depleted. Even you see them and they're like kind of dish rags that have been
squeezed
because they've spent so much of their energy on sense gratification that they're their force is deleted. Or in Ayurveda, oja means vital force. By too much sex life, that's depleted. Or too much sense gratification of any kind. So then just, they don't have energy. They die at an earlier age, or they die without vitality. The vitality is sapped. Or sometimes, again, because of depression, then there, again, no vitality. So prana. The life airs become deranged also. That's another Ayurvedic diagnosis. There are different kinds of prana, life air. And by too much sense gratification, these airs become deranged. They're supposed to, like in a pneumatic machine, the air is moving this way and that way, and the machine is working. Or the lungs are a pneumatic machine. They have to systematically beat. So there are different kinds of airs moving in the body. And by too much sense gratification, the airs don't move the right way. Things get deranged. And that results in madness or it results in disease. Atma. The body itself. We've talked about that. For the person whose senses are uncontrolled, the body itself becomes too fat. Or it becomes like a caricature of itself. You see these guys who are doing severe exercises so that their muscles can look like balloons or bands of steel. And they're thinking, you know, they're like proud of their body, but it looks like some sort of twisted creature.
Like a cartoon character.
Yeah, they're caricatures. Caricatures of themselves. That's, you know, they're doing good. But what to speak of so many others who are wasting their lives in sense gratification. Or sitting doing nothing, or sitting in an office working hard, their minds are disturbed, their bodies are wasting. Or, from another point of view, in the pursuit of sense gratification, they lose their life. We talked about that, the man who's pursuing a woman at the risk of being killed by her husband or other relatives, the pearl divers who are risking their lives. There are so many other dangerous occupations. Or finally, war. What is war about? It's about sense gratification. This Gulf War, it's not about protecting the world from terrorists. That's baloney. That anyone who believes that is gullible in the extreme. It's about greed. It's certainly not about fundamentalist Islam or all this kind of stuff that's broadcast. No. It's about money. It's about resources. It's about who owns what territory on the global chessboard. It's about extreme greed at levels that we can't participate in because we're not in that league. Billions upon billions upon billions of dollars at issue. Yeah, just think what one small oil well produces, and then you think about a country full of them. Islam is a small matter compared to that. And for that, for the desire to have more, to control and exploit, people's lives are sacrificed, prana. the whole everything, Atma, the body, is gone. Either damaged severely. There's so many people who are damaged in war. They lose a leg, they lose an arm, they lose more, or their minds are damaged. Someone was telling me, a nurse was telling me, now there are so many, this post-traumatic stress disorder has become practically the biggest problem in returnees from the war, Gulf War especially. And someone was explaining, this nurse was telling me, a lot of it has to do with the improvement in the technology of helmets. Because previously the guy just would have been killed. Now he's survived, but he's a mess. You know, it's a very, we left, but it's a serious problem. You know, people come home and their lives are messed up. And in part it was their desire, I'll join the army, I'll be a man, or I'll join the army and they'll pay for my education, or I'll join the army and whatever it is, they'll take care of me, or I'll get money, I'll defend my country, whatever it is they're thinking. And the result is Atma Nashyati, their body is destroyed. Partially, totally. Kamanam, because of desires. Dharma, religious principles. People know this is irreligious, it's against my religion, but I'm going to do it. They may be Hindu, they may be Christian, they may be Muslim, they may be this, that, and they know, thou shalt not, or they know this is against scripture, or this is against what the preacher told us, this is against what the priest said, this is against this commandment, 10 commandments, whatever. They know, this is not religious. Thou shalt not steal, but thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, but no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, but because the senses are out of control, because there's desire out of control, then religious principles, Ajamil, he was a nice Brahmin, but he was overcome by desires, and all of his religious principles went to hell. So dharma, or in the practical, in the global sense, you know, where's the dharma? Like, Kurukshetra was fought over principles of dharma. Now it's just greed. Of course, on the part of the Kauravas, it was just greed to begin with. But now, where's the dharma, you know, dharma, a dharmic war. Forget it, there is no dharmic war. War has become just dirty, business has become dirty, personal relationships, there's no dharma there. Man marries, has children, accepts service, and when his wife is a little bit, you know, not so shiny anymore. He ditches her. Because dharma is not the consideration. Sense gratification is the issue. So dharma nashyati, dhriti, patience. Just can't wait. I just can't wait. There was some song like that. I'm so overcome with material desires that I just can't wait. And it becomes like that, impatient. That's the mode of passion. So many desires. And one can't live peacefully. One can't be patient. I want it and I want it now. The senses are demanding. Mati, intelligence. Intelligence is meant for spiritual realization, for Krishna consciousness. And it's spoiled, it's even systematically destroyed. The child is, instead of being sent to Gurukul, he's sent to classes to drill from the age of minus two. Even from the womb there, you know, how you can start something or other so that your child will be educationally getting ahead. Or at least anyway, once he's a few years old, then they're obsessed with competition for getting into college. Obsessed with career advancement, and he's being pushed. The parents are pushing, the uncles are pushing, the cousins are pushing, the school is pushing, the government is pushing, everyone's pushing. You've got good intelligence. Use it, use it, use it. For what? For sense gratification. That means the intelligence is spoiled. Because human intelligence is meant for finding the solution to the problems of life, how to get out of material existence. And that intelligence is being used for sense gratification only. He is the son of a Brahmin, an intellectual, so he has brains. That brain can be used for information technology. That brain can be used for writing computer programs. The same brain that was meant for spiritual cultivation, for cultivating spiritual qualities, spiritual understanding, for philosophy, for Sanatana Dharma, for Krishna consciousness. Now that intelligence is directed toward being an excellent Shudra. Shudra means someone who's employed for someone else. He's employed in writing code for whatever it is, for selling this, for bombing that. And he thinks he's advanced. And his intelligence is used for that only. How to write better code, cleaner code, or how to come up with something that'll make it do this, make it do that. And this is the advancement of intelligence. Market intelligence. How to use your intelligence to beat out the competition with a killer idea in the marketplace. That's not intelligence. Or that's the misuse of intelligence. That's animal intelligence. It's intelligence directed towards sense gratification. The cat has intelligence. There's a bowl of milk on your table. The cat wants it. The cat doesn't jump up and get it. The cat waits till you leave the kitchen. Then he jumps up and gets it. That's intelligence. But what is it for? For eating. So they're using their intelligence for eating, for sleeping, for mating, for fighting. That means animal life. So Matihi, the intelligence is nashyati. Hri, shyness. In the civilized, especially for women, shyness is a very great asset. A girl who's shy is a very valuable quality. But now in Kali Yuga, in the Western world especially, or anywhere, if a girl is shy, then what's wrong with her? They send her to a psychiatrist, or they send her to a guidance counselor. They ask, you know, she's so shy. That's a problem. Or it's exploited by men, you know, come off it. You inhibit it or something, or, you know, one argument or another, an argument to break her shyness so that she'll be a doll for sense gratification. Or men also. They're not shy about anything. Shameless. The opposite of shy is shameless. He's not ashamed to do anything for sense gratification. He'll be a dancing dog for sense gratification. He's not shy to criticize his elders. He's not shy to do anything if there's sense gratification. So Hri, shyness is destroyed. Shri, opulence. Gambling means they become obsessed and then their money, they lose their money big time. Or in risky investments and they're wiped out. Or just having it sapped away little by little. You know, buying this, buying that, but credit card debt. Amazing. People are paying 26% interest. Interest. I mean, you're paying for nothing. The people are, because they've lost their patience, because they've lost their intelligence, because so many desires are there. So they'll pay, they'll buy something for $75 for $100 and pay $25 more for nothing. And then that's just the baseline. Then we go into default, and then there's penalties, and then there's this, and finally there's bankruptcy. Meanwhile, there's anxiety. I'm moving it from this credit card to that credit card. And I'm working, my wife is working. It's a government statistic. 20 years ago, if husband and wife were both working, it's because he wasn't doing very well. He was poor. Today, if husband and wife were working, it's to maintain their lifestyle. It means desires have increased, so work has to increase. Now, husband's work will not be enough. The wife has to work. And someone did the calc, was saying, the wife is working, so she's paying for transportation. She's paying for food eaten outside. She's paying for her work clothes. She's paying taxes. She's paying for other expenses related to work. And finally, she makes enough money to pay for childcare. So that we can have a lifestyle in which the child grows up someplace with some other people because his mother is working. Because desires have increased, desires have increased, desires have increased. So your money is being taken away or other opulences. Teja, strength, we talked about. Smriti, memory, also goes. People can't that's also Bhagavad Gita. Jayato Vishayo Pumsa Sangaste Shupajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kamat Krodho Vijayate. Because of so many desires, one becomes angry when the desires are not fulfilled. Krodhad Bhavati Sammoha, one becomes bewildered. Sammoha Smriti Vibhrama, and one forgets what's what. Guy becomes so enraged that he shoots his wife. Then later, I shot my wife. He didn't remember, this is my wife. Radical case, but so many people just, their powers of memory are diminished. Thinking of sense gratitude, and ultimately, can't remember Krishna. they forget. So absorbed in thinking of sense gratification or thinking of the work to pay for the sense gratification or thinking of the anxieties that have arisen for sense gratification, that the mind and intelligence can't be focused on Krishna, and one forgets Krishna, or one forgets the purpose of life. Then what is he living for? Satyam, truthfulness, both relative and absolute, lost. Yasya nashanti janmana. This is the result of so many material desires. And we get a civilization which is a misdirected civilization in which all of these things are out of whack or just lost because Krishna has been forgotten and been spiritual desire has been replaced or displaced by material desires. It's described in Bhagavatam. The material desires are like canes growing on the side of a pool. There's a pool and there's some, you know, those plants that grow up on the side, those cane plants. And they're drinking up the water, and the pool dries out. So our attention is being diverted toward material desires, and our substance is lost. So Krishna consciousness means to cultivate the real desire, the desire to serve Krishna. Yayatma supersedati, only by that desire will the heart be satisfied. Otherwise, rig rogam, the heart will remain diseased. Okay, I spoke for a long time, I think. Okay, stop here. If there are any questions, though, you're welcome to ask.
So Maharaj, since from childhood we are being trained to have so much, to cultivate our material desires, so is the, like by following Krishna consciousness, can we reverse the process?
Yeah, it's possible. There's better late than never. Best is that from the very beginning of life, Komaratrate Pragya Dharman Bhagavatam. From the very beginning, the child should be brought up in such a way that his whole life will be Krishna conscious. That's the best thing. But somehow, if that opportunity has gone by, then better late than never. At any point, one can become Krishna conscious.
How to develop that faith and patience that, okay, now I'm practicing Krishna consciousness, and how to have faith that, okay, someday will come that I will be able to control my material desire and...
By practice and by good association. And by doing it. Not that someday I'll be able to... One has to begin. Sometimes, you know, yes, I'll take to it when he desires. You know, he's already expressed his desire. Sarva dharman pratyaja mam ekam sharanam. Give up all your nonsense and surrender, rascal. And the rascal is there. Yes, when he desires. So his desire is already there. Now there's a question of our desire. So we have to cultivate that desire by associating with those who have such a desire. If we associate with those who are full of contaminated material desires, then our contaminated material desires will increase. And if we associate with those who are pure devotees, whose desire is to serve Krishna, our desire to serve Krishna will increase. By association and by practice. Anything else?
So the question arises, I think Manish probably implies that, how to make balance? He has to work, he has a family, he has two small children. How to balance with that between how to be practical and be Krishna conscious?
Well, how to be practical and Krishna conscious. Of course, the example Prabhupada gives is like a woman who's got a lover apart from her husband. She's working harder so that the husband won't know. So that means that it's possible to be working in one way and thinking in another way. So one is working, but he's thinking of Krishna. By practice, again. Another answer is that our material, this is a business answer. Those who are in business, those who are business-minded. Which is easier? To increase your income or decrease your expenses? Where do you start?
Cut cost.
Cost control. The successful business is the business which can reduce its fixed cost as close to zero as possible. That's not the only element of success. He has to have a good product, good marketing, but if his costs are out of control, there's no way that his business can succeed. You know, if his payroll is way out of range, if his manufacturing costs are not carefully managed, if the expenses are just helter-skelter, business can't succeed. Even if he sells a lot of the product, even if he raises the price of the product, even if he's doomed before he starts, because his costs are going to eat him up. And he has to spend so much money to make money. He has to spend money to bring in a new customer. So the first thing that a careful businessman does is he looks at his costs and he sees, how can I reduce my costs without jeopardizing my core objectives? How can I bring my costs down? How can I make it lean and mean, they say in business world? Because if my cost of doing business is zero, I can't fail. If it's close to zero, still my chances of success are very high. If it's over the moon, I can't win. So in our personal life also, which is easier? To have large expenses and bring in more money, or to keep my expenses modest? If I keep my expenses modest, I don't have to work so hard. When my expenses are growing and growing and growing, then I have to work overtime, my wife has to work, but I have to get money here, I have to get money there. So if I can reduce, how do I reduce my expenses? I start controlling my desires. And I'm thinking, do I need this? Do I need this? Do I need this? If I don't need it, is this necessary for, if I'm Krishna conscious, that so many things I don't need. Even from a practical point of view. To go to the movie costs how much? What's it cost to take your family to the movies?
$10 per person.
So let's say minimum $30. It's just you and your wife, $20, just like that. And it's not free, you have to drive there, you have to eat something. It's by the end of the day, it's $50. Parking. $50 to go to the movies. And what does it cost to go for kirtan?
That become costly. We have two programs in week. People can't come because
it's
costly.
You have to pay for gas. You still have to pay for gas. Yeah. But, you know, where we have our programs, parking is free, so it's just gas. And if you do it seriously, like, you know, the way we used to do things in India, you put eight people in the car that's meant for four, and you keep your gas costs down.
Yeah.
and you're eating his prasadam, and it's more satisfying, and you make spiritual progress. The movie means the mind becomes, you know, when is she going to take off her clothes, or you know what it is. Spoiling the mind, spoiling the intelligence, spoiling one's life, agitating the mind, and forgetting about the purpose of life. And kirtan means cheta darpana marjanam, the mind is becoming purified, mind is becoming refreshed, one is becoming freed from all anxieties instead of increasing the anxieties, one is making progress in spiritual understanding. One is making progress on getting freed from the ultimate disease, the disease of birth and death. And one is saving money while one's at it. You know, we're kind of, it's like such an easy choice in one sense. But there, just from a practical accounting point of view, I've saved money. We'll forget about all the spiritual benefit, we'll forget about all the benefit to my mind and then everything else. But just even practically, you know, I had a good time and it didn't cost me $50. And so many other things. That's just one example, but so many other things that are going in our life that we don't need if we're Krishna conscious. We don't need all rubbish restaurants serving nasty things. So much money is saved. We don't need so many other things for happiness and entertainment. Our doctor bills go down. So much is saved by living a simple life of Krishna consciousness. So, from a practical point of view, reduce your expenses. There's a marriage counselor, Christian fellow, he advises new couples, don't get a credit card. And if you get a credit card, make a vow that you'll pay off the charges immediately. And the first time that you miss a payment, cut the card. You know, take your scissors and destroy the card. Practical. Just practical. You know, practical, fiscal, sensible advice. Don't let your desires outrun your capability. But they do that. They desire more than they can afford, and they spend. And then they're in anxiety, and then they're working hard. You know, no credit card debt. Don't do it. Just do without. I don't need it. I can do with less. Loans, this, that. The person who can be happy with less saves himself so much trouble. And the person who wants more and more and more says, I don't have any time for spiritual life. I don't have any time to come to the temple. I don't have any time to reach. I don't have any time to talk to my children. I don't have time for no time. Because he's allowed his desires to eat him up. His desires have eaten away at his time. So it's easier to reduce your desires than to increase your income. So it's just practical advice. And how do we reduce our material desires? We move those desires over to the service of Krishna. And your desires will all be satisfied. Anything else? Definitely we'll stop. It's getting late, yeah? Okay.
Almost 10 o'clock, 4 or 5 minutes.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, 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 Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Prabhupada.